Meet Philippa. The character is fictional. The experience is shared by people across East of England today. This is their story. In Welwyn Hatfield, would-be teachers find their path to the classroom blocked not by lack of ability or commitment, but by artificial funding constraints that treat teacher training like a rationed commodity. Empty lecture halls sit alongside unfilled classrooms, while graduates who want to teach are told the government cannot afford to train them.
I have a shoebox full of postcards under my bed. Each one is from a former student who's studying abroad. Writing to me in French or Spanish or German, they learned in my classroom. Except I don't have a classroom yet. I have a collection of postcards from students I taught, as a cover supervisor, a teaching assistant, anything that let me get close to the work I trained for. I studied modern languages at Cambridge because I wanted to open doors for other people the way my French teacher, Mrs. Morrison, had opened them for me. When she handed me that first French novel in year 10, and I realized I could understand it, I felt this electric connection to millions of people I'd never met. I wanted to create that moment for others. After my gap year teaching English in Vietnam, I came back certain that secondary languages teaching was where I belonged. I graduated in 2018 and applied through UCAS teacher training for a PGCE in modern foreign languages. The University of Hertfordshire was my first choice because it was local and had an excellent reputation. They called me in for an interview, and I thought it went well. Then they explained the problem. The government bursaries for MFL teacher training had been reduced from £25,000 to £10,000 for the East of England region. We simply cannot recruit enough trainees to make the program viable, the admissions tutor said. The reduced bursary means most graduates cannot afford to live while training. I tried the Institute of Education at University College London next. Same story. The course leader was apologetic but clear. We used to offer 60 places for MFL. This year we can only offer 30. The funding cuts mean we cannot afford to run the program at full capacity. I asked if there were still teacher shortages in languages. She nodded. Desperate shortages. But our hands are tied. The Department for Education's regional coordinator for teacher training explained it to me over the phone. We have to work within a fixed national pot, she said. Treasury spending rules require us to prioritize based on the overall budget allocation, regardless of regional teacher shortages. There is no funding for additional places. At first, this sounded reasonable. Budgets are tight. Everyone knows that. I took a job as a teaching assistant at Monk's Walk School in Welwyn Garden City and reapplied each year, hoping the situation would improve. I loved working with the students, even though I was covering lessons rather than teaching my specialist subjects. The languages department was constantly short-staffed, relying on supply teachers and non-specialists to cover French and German classes. In 2021, I went back to the University of Hertfordshire to ask about my application status. They invited me to tour the education faculty while I was there. That's when I saw something that didn't fit the story I'd been told. We walked past computer suites, designed for language learning, equipped with headphones and interactive software, completely empty during what should have been peak PGCE training time. Lecture halls with tiered seating for 100 students, dark and unused. The admissions tutor noticed me staring. We have the capacity for twice as many trainees, she admitted quietly, but we simply cannot afford to run the programs without adequate bursary funding. I stood in that empty computer suite and started asking different questions. If the people existed, and the equipment existed, and the desperate need for language teachers existed, what exactly was it that there is no money for? The University of Hertfordshire had the facilities. They had the staff. Students like me were standing ready to train. Schools like Monk's Walk were crying out for qualified language teachers. The government that issues the pound was telling us it could not find enough of them to connect these dots. Around the same time, I discovered that my neighbor Rajesh, who lived three streets away, had faced exactly the same problem. He'd wanted to train as a secondary maths teacher, but been turned away from the same institutions for the same reason. Eventually, he'd found a training place through School Direct, a different route that somehow had access to different funding streams. Same government, same treasury, but apparently a different pot of money that hadn't run dry. This was when I started to understand that what I'd experienced wasn't a shortage of money. It was a series of political choices, dressed up as accounting problems. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins had decided not to spend enough of them to train the teachers that every school in our area desperately needed. They'd created artificial scarcity in the middle of abundance. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that issues the currency told me it could not find enough of it to train people who were standing right there, ready to work. But the real question was never about money. It was about whether qualified graduates existed who wanted to teach. They did. Whether universities had the capacity to train them. They did. Whether schools needed the teachers. They desperately did. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It's the same logic as a household saying, "We cannot afford it," except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still applying. I understand now that what happened to me is happening in every constituency, where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare. Every empty lecture hall, every understaffed languages department, every graduate turned away from teaching is evidence of the same political choice. To treat government spending as though creating pounds costs pounds, when the real cost is leaving resources unused and needs unmet.
What Philippa experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique works like a tobacco company, highlighting the one study that questions smoking's health risks while ignoring thousands that confirm it. They select rare examples to justify a sweeping policy, disregarding overwhelming evidence to the contrary. In Philippa's story, policymakers cited occasional examples where teacher training programs had low completion rates or produced teachers who left the profession early. They used these cherry-picked cases to justify slashing bursaries across the board, ignoring decades of evidence showing that well-funded teacher training produces better outcomes, higher retention, and addresses critical shortages. Look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. This objection points to Greece as evidence that government spending leads to crisis. But Greece used the euro, it did not issue its own currency. Nordic countries with extensive public sectors have lower debt crises, not higher. The reality cherry-picking obscures is straightforward. The UK government issues its own currency and does not need to find pounds before spending them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. In Welwyn Hatfield, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Welwyn Hatfield ranks 321 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 3,209 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. 360 giving grant NAV shows total grants received of £38.8 million. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.